And we're coming to the conclusion tonight of this brief little journey. But oh my, I felt like time and time again, I've just been under the mightiest waterfall of rejoicing in such wonder of His truth and love. And tonight, I believe, again, all by the power of the Holy Ghost, it's by His Spirit, will, I believe, see the revealing, truly this unveiling of perfected, complete, and finished love. And truly, that's the summation of chapters 1 through 15. If you think about where we started in chapter 1, and what love wherewith we are loved, this God so lovely and encouraging us to turn to Him, all of the grace and mercy through chapters, especially 2, 3, 4, and 5, that He's got it. He finished it. Praise the Lord. There's no favor in the works of our hands. There's not going to be any flesh justified by the works of the law. Takes us into understanding and precious through the Apostle Paul in chapter 7. You know what? We are but men. And that good seems to evade us, doesn't we? That evil that we would do, man, I'm hugging it day and night often, you know? And yet, in that precious conclusion of 7, he says, "Oh, but I glory that with the mind I serve the law of God, and I thank the Lord with this flesh I serve that law of sin." He got it, praise the Lord. He understood it. And that revelation of how beautiful, truly beautiful to the Lord are the two natures, because they're going at it. And it's a must. It has to be that way. And that's the good fight of faith. And so how lovely and glorious. And we move right along, and we saw the fellowship in the last couple chapters, the love of the brethren, especially in not wanting to stumble one another, our liberties, all of these different wonderful truths. But now we come to this summation of it all. And I want to begin tonight in chapter 15, where we left off. And it's really the run-up. Chapter 15, verse 32. And what we have here is Paul's excitement, his expectation of love, and how overflowing it is in his... he can't contain it. He just can't contain himself. He's a lover. And it's overflowing because his heart is to come back to these full overcomer Philadelphia saints in Rome. See, he's in love with the fellowship with these saints. And these saints... The reason he's in love with the fellowship with these is because they're filled, as we read, with all knowledge, and they abound in love in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that wonderful? See, they have the knowledge, they have the truth, but they have the love. They have the Holy Ghost that has given them all truth, but they're going on in it in that joy unspeakable and full of glory, and they have this wondrous love shed abroad in their heart. And this is the passion, this is the panting of why Paul wants to get back to these particular saints. And I'll tell you what, tonight we better hold on to our hearts, because this is going to be, I believe, for some, and I hope for all, some deep revelation tonight by the grace of God. So let's go ahead and read verse 32 of chapter 15. And Paul says, "That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed." We kind of held off on this for last week, coming into this week, and it was so precious because one of the sisters caught me afterwards, reminded me again, but how the Lord has these things loaded up for us. But we're going to begin with that word refreshed. Now think of that. This is Paul saying that I may come to you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now remember, I told you, you got to hang on to this. That word refreshed means to lay together, to sleep together as a husband and wife. It truly means intercourse. Now, brothers and sisters, this isn't to be strange or inappropriate, but the Lord is drilling something down in our hearts to understand that this is a spiritual marriage that He has called us to. He wants to get our attention, doesn't He? Amen? He wouldn't use things like this. He wouldn't use the most intimate type of relationship and interaction between a husband and wife, and He brings this out, and it's particularly brings this out for those saints that are running to win him as bridegroom. And it must be this way. And we're so thankful to God. And it must be this way with one another. Think about the word in the Word of God, the word know, K-N-O-W. And I'm not, and it can be used in different ways, but there's a word, K-N-O-W, in the Word of God and in the New Testament. The word is gnosko. And gnosko or genosko is found 246 times in the New Testament. The one who uses it the most is the Apostle Paul, which isn't very surprising at all. And that word, the first definition of it is sexual intercourse. He's trying to encourage us, brothers and sisters, that this is the most intimate knowledge to have of him, how he loves us. This isn't something to take in some physical sense, but this is to understand in the most intimate spiritual sense of what the Lord is enjoining with us with by the Holy Ghost. It truly is holy matrimony. It is so set apart. And I thank God that he doesn't mince words. And I'm not ashamed of it. And I thank the Lord. I think you're not getting embarrassed anymore. I only saw a couple people fidget here. I haven't seen the ones at home that are listening along. But if you listen along, you're going to hear the word of God. And you need to hear it and get over yourself. And I'll tell you what. This is a bride that, just like Jess when she was marrying Jessica, she ran down this altar. She ran. She didn't care about a picture. She didn't care about anything. She wanted to get married. She wanted him. And thank the Lord for that precious testimony. But see, this love is the most intimate and divine interaction. And it's only between spouses. You know that. That's what this is intended. It's only between spouses. This is that communication of intercourse. This is the knowing of Paul's gospel. The love that exceeds all the others. This is the first love of the bridegroom. We don't have a problem with that, thinking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I have to remind you again, that's just the head. How about the body? See, here's the body. And that's why this love is so absolutely imperative. And that's why the love is always encouraged, especially by the Apostle Paul, whether it was the Thessalonians, the Romans, all of them, that their love would increase the more and more to one another. And see, the only way that that's going to happen is if our fellowship is in the gospel of Christ. The only way that that's going to happen is when we know that it's Christ in you and Christ in me, the hope of glory. Then it's just, I mean, it's beyond. You can't even explain it. How he draws us, the oneness that we have, the love that we have for one another. It truly is something that only the Spirit can give you. And I go right back to that precious example we would get from Brother Hill all the time. Just tell me what a peach tastes like. You can't. I'm trying to tell you what this is, but it's almost, you can't grasp it. You just got to get into it. You've got to enter in. You don't understand until you enter into that marriage, and thank the Lord that he's got it there for us. But this Holy Ghost love reigns in joy and rejoicing in the Apostle Paul. He lets it be known, doesn't he? He doesn't have a hard time telling these people he loves them, does he? Using words like this, do you think he has a hard time telling somebody he loves them? I really feel sorry for Christians that don't say, I love you. And I don't sit there and ask you if you mean it. I'm believing in Christ in you that, you know what? That's love. If I'm thinking, well, I don't want to because I don't want somebody to size me up, or I want to say it because I mean it, I think I've got a problem. And I need to really be asking the Lord, is truly my heart about me? Or is it truly about the leading of the Holy Ghost to follow Paul as he follows Christ? So this is something that we need to embrace here. Paul is in ecstasy in the Spirit to be with those that love the bridal gospel. Are you in ecstasy of the Spirit to be with those that love the bridal gospel? Well, I'll tell you what. If you were here, let's see, when was that? Sunday night. It was going on here. You could just hear it. And I thank the Lord it's here. Because Paul's gospel is here. The love of the truth is here. Truth and love is here. because of the grace of God that is with us. And we know that. And see, this sets the tone for the entire meaning of chapter 16. And without this intimacy of love between the saints, you miss all the depth and the power of this climactic ending of what the Lord is encouraging us. And I loved seeing on Sunday night, if you missed the testimony meeting, it was very precious. I was thankful to God. Oh, they all are. But we had Brother Aaron with us from Kansas City, and he's out there at the meeting, one of the meetings there, and it was so precious. He got up, and he told us, he said, "I never cry," and he's weeping. This man is weeping. He's a big man, and he was weeping because he did not want to leave. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the love, praise God. And what a testimony in him, and thank God in this place. So I'm glad there's a yearning, and love that man. And they need him, and he's a precious lover of the truth. I'm so grateful. Now, let's get on into chapter 16. What's going to happen here, just to prepare those that like to take notes and kind of get mad at me when I move a little quick, that's why I tell you, listen to this thing many times over. Take your time with it. It'll be just fine. But we're going to hear Paul, and he's going to commend certain ones. He's going to call them by name. And we're going to explore tonight the meanings and the instruction. In each one of these names, there's such meaning. And we'll find as we begin to hear each one of those names, and we shouldn't be surprised at all, but what's going to come forth is the perfect, full, mature love to enjoy in one another. Truly, all of the meanings will total up to be such a testimony of the qualities of the bride of Christ. And it is such a joy. So let's go ahead and begin reading chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. I commend you unto you, Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. So I commend you unto you, Phoebe. That means I stand with you radiant. Phoebe's name means radiant. It means the sun glory. It's so beautiful. Stand with that glory. Stand with that radiance. You're so grateful to God. But it doesn't just end there. Where it says receive her, we're right back to that meaning right there, companionship and intercourse. What he wants the saints to do is to, even though they don't know her, you do know her. She has the love of that truth. Receive her. This is so important. This is that companionship. You find this same rare word of this intercourse or this companionship of a husband and wife going over to Titus chapter 2, verse 13. This is the same love and expectation the bride has right now for other bridal saints as for this moment in time someday. It's the same word. It's the same encouragement here of that word receive, which means companionship and intercourse. And the word is looking. It's the same word. It is. It means companionship and intercourse. That's how I would look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. See, that would be to see him as bridegroom. Amen? Amen. That's what that would be. And see, in this instruction and encouragement, and I thank the Lord. I think he's driven that home to us over the years. And that glorious encouragement of the Apostle Paul, of those that will win that exalted rank crown of righteousness with him, what's the requirement? That we love his appearing. Amen? Do you love his appearing? See, this is the same thing. It's over and over in the Word of God. It's not just in one place. It's all over. And this is this bridal love. Do we love that appearing? And like we say many times, everybody's going to love the appearing, seeing Jesus someday. But do you love his appearing now? And this is that intimate love, this love of the bridal love. And you just don't want to see it. Just not see it. When you love Paul's gospel, you want to be in wedlock with Christ. And you want to be in wedlock with all those that know that love. Right? Well, let's go ahead and read verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. We remember those two back there in Acts. Wasn't that wonderful? They received Paul into their home. They were the ones that witnessed to Apollos. Remember? They showed him a more perfect way. And thank the Lord, they had all of that time with Paul in their home. And how thankfully they submitted to that gospel and grew up. Well, Priscilla's name means the guardian. And Aquila's name means the mature eagle. So isn't that wonderful? The guardian is to stand and the mature eagle. Well, I believe that's just a full overcomer. Can you imagine that? See, these names are outstanding. These are the worthies of faith of Paul's gospel. And now, remember the first one was, I commend. These are really interesting progressions as you go along in this. The first verse was, I commend, stand with. Well, now it's greet. The word greet means to draw to oneself, to draw to oneself. Do we as saints draw ones to one another? Do you understand that? Don't wait for somebody to draw to you, draw to them. Well, I'm not going to be nice to them until they're nice to me, or whatever that nonsense is. Jesus doesn't wait for that, does he? He just goes to it. And that's the thing. We have to get over ourselves. And thinking, well, I'm just not like that. Right. That's why you had to die and Christ had to come to live in you. I know this. I'm giving you a testimony of this guy, this shy guy, this guy that didn't want to. I wanted to stand on the wall, you know, blend in. But this is what the Lord does. And I just can't encourage my own life or yours to surrender and submit everything. Let Christ really live in you. Let him really grow up to in you in all things. And it's not faking or portraying, but it's being willing. It's being willing. And change is not easy for us. We understand. But it's easy for God. Nothing's hard for him. And you know how you change? From glory to glory. And when you begin to see glory and really love glory, you'll start to embrace glory. And glory's right here. This is glory. This is his glory. Amen? Think of these things and rejoice in how we've been taught over the years. And there's a beautiful encouragement here that the Lord is giving us to rejoice in. So you draw to oneself. You draw them to you. See, and that's the yearning that the bride has for the bride. The bride has for the bride. Yeah. See, Paul wanted to get back to the bridal saints. He always wanted to. He wanted to get out of Corinth. Those were squirrels. Get me out of here, Lord. But the Lord had to work there. But he didn't want to hang there. Right? He wanted to get where the lovers were. So let that speak to us. And I'll tell you what, he's going to drill this down more and more. Verse 4. They have laid down, for whom my life laid down their own necks. Unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. I'll tell you, this little couple sure became popular, didn't they, in the love of Christ. Isn't that something? They were you think about just nobody, nobodies. Look at that, all the churches of the Gentiles. And you think about that. That's, once again, and this really tells you, the churches of the Gentiles. When Paul speaks of the Gentile, almost exclusively always, it means saved ones. You understand that. This is the churches that are saved, and he calls them Gentiles. So this will help you in even understanding the word of God when he brings out the word Gentiles, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs with Jesus Christ, right? Amen? Join heirs together. See, he's not just talking about Gentiles as a nation or something of that nature. This is Paul speaking of them. These are saved Christians. He wants them now, these saved Christians, he wants them to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ, you see. So you can try to mix it up and all that, just rightfully divide the word of God. And it's simple as you get through the word of God. It explains it. Amen? But it is. It's line upon line, isn't it? And it's wonderful to go through the word of God. It's exciting to know this truth and then to have it revealed more and more all the time. But see, this is to us. We lay down our lives for the gospel by the grace of God. I love how Jesus said, he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. And I'm grateful. I already know my calling. I don't know what I'm going to be doing in this life. I really don't, but I know my calling, and it's to win him. Same one as yours. It's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that we would grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we, all men would be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. That is your purpose. Everything else is an after effect. So you don't need to worry about your gift. You don't need to worry about what you're doing, your job, and all of these different things. That'll just clutter your brain because you're going to start thinking. You do not want to think with your mind. You want the mind of Christ to reign. And this is such a joy. And when you begin to clutter with things, these are beautiful things of the Word of God, the gifts and all of these different things. But just in speaking with a couple brethren recently, again, they're just kind of, well, do I have this? Do I have that? It's like, oh, please stop. It clutters. Just believe him and he'll do it. He'll perform it. The Spirit giveth. Amen. And you'll know. And I'll tell you what, I don't try to put God in a box. You never know what he'll bring out of you. Huh? You don't. All right, verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. What a precious church. See, you don't have to have big walls and sound systems and all of that thing. Where the word of the Lord is, there's a church, praise God. And so greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Now, think of this. We had commend. Remember, we started with commend. Stand with, greet, to draw to oneself. Now we've got, it's even further, it's ramping up. Salute. And this is so beautiful. A sister had sent me even a little bit more detailed explanation or definition on this word salute. This word salute in the Greek means to draw to oneself in fervent love, to embrace, to receive joyfully. To draw to oneself in fervent love, to embrace and receive joyfully. You know, you read that, and I think that sounds a lot like a word that we know, worship. To draw nigh in fervent love as to kiss. Amen? Why wouldn't it be the same? Because it's the same love. Amen? And we thank God for that. You think about John as he was taken up in Revelation. He couldn't help but bow down and worship that one that was showing him around. He was so Christ-like, you know. I had to worship you. And the guy would pick him up to stop that. I'm just like you, you know. But that was showing that that life of Christ was so Christ-like that he had to worship that. There was that. And worship meaning, is, as well, you understand, that love. And this is the love that the Lord has given us. And why not? Now, Epaphras, this is so beautiful. First of all, this, when we talk about fervent love, Epaphras means well-beloved, my favorite. Isn't that beautiful? My favorite. Man. So this is pretty right on. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras. So draw oneself in fervent love to embrace, rejoice fully, and my well-beloved, my favorite. And by the way, his name means praiseworthy. It's incredible how the Lord does these things. So Christ-like. This saint, praise God, so exceptional. And it didn't end there. Remember we read the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ? Get this one. The first fruit means superior in class and rank. And Achaia means suffering. So he was the first in rank in suffering. Amen. The height of reigning. If you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. I tell you what, we should look forward to meeting this guy in Christ, in him, the hope of glory. Amen. So like I say, I didn't even know there was an Epaphras there. But there he is. And lovely. You go to verse 6 and you see Mary. I love that name. Means rebel. And I love her. We're going to study, God willing, next week. We're going to start into Joseph, those bridal types in Joseph. And I think about Joseph. He's a rebel because he saw more. You know, when people don't understand what you're seeing, you're rebelling. Did you know that? That's how they feel, especially Christians. Oh, you're just a rebel. You're exclusive. You're this. No, I'm telling you what I see. I'm telling you what the Lord has revealed. His brothers didn't understand it, and he wasn't ashamed. In verse 7, you got that salute again, and who is that? Andronicus. That means a man of victory. We got a full overcomer there. Junia means youthful, like a young roe. See, the Lord is also expressing to us, see, he's no respecter of persons. And if you look at verse 7 as well, too, he says that they are fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles. Isn't that something? Who also were in Christ before me. See, this is huge. He's bringing out some different things here, all right? So these are marked apostles. These are apostles of note. And notice this, as Paul says, who also were in Christ before me. These were humble ones. These were humble, beautiful vessels that were willing to, again, receive the word of God for someone who actually came along after them, who God showed such mighty things through and submitted to that. Isn't that beautiful? And see, those little things like that, they mean a lot. So pay attention to those things. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Right there in verse 8. My beloved, you got more bridal talk. Amplius, his name means enlarged. You think about what love does. Doesn't love enlarge you? Doesn't love complete you? Doesn't love increase you? These are all these precious things. Verse 9, this one, Urbane, it means the finisher. What an encouragement to be around people that they're about one thing, to finish with a full joy. They're not caught up in the, well, you know, we've got to talk about my trials, or we got to talk about this. No, we got to talk about the finish. That's the guy you want to be with. You want to be with that. It's a precious thing you want to be. And Stachys there, that's an ear of corn, fruit. Yeah, you want to be around that fruit. Verse 10, you got Apelles. That means called, tried, and pleasing. Aristobulus. That's the best counsel. So, you think about these different ones that Paul knows and wants to gather with and is encouraging others to get with. It's not the one who has natural talent. He's not telling them to get around the one that, you know, is real educated. He's not telling about the one who went to this school or this seminary. He's not telling you about the one who did all these great and mighty works. Doesn't go about those things. He actually just mentions their name, and their name says it all. Isn't that gorgeous? And these names are specific for us. They're exact. And this is the description of the bride. She's fruitful, Pelas, called, tried, and pleasing. You know, it's easy to be called. It's harder to be tried. But my goodness, can you be called, tried, and pleasing? You can be called, tried, and ornery and uncomfortable, but this is pleasing. And I love the good counsel. Isn't that wonderful to have good counsel? We have good counsel. There's a lot of encouragement in the Word of God in this place. Verse 11, Herodian means valiant. And, Paul talks about kinsmen, you know, that could be relations, could be meaning in the truth. There's lots of depths and layers in those meanings there. Greet them that be of the household, this is funny, of Narcissus. there's a couple meanings of this. First of all, it could be stupid. And I think we need to swallow a humble pill and say, well, we're kind of from the house of stupid. And, you know, that's how we come along, you know. You got to be humble to come to God so you realize he knows everything and you don't know a thing. But I think one of the other meanings that mean a lot to you is the house of awe and wonderment. The house of awe and wonderment. I like that. And that's all that can really be said of the bride. I was thinking about, you know, when she's received up into heaven, you know, heaven's got to get quiet for a half hour. I know there's a lot of activity there in that regard, but I'm sure everybody's jaws just dropped, and there's nothing to say. Everybody's speechless because they never seen that kind of glory before. When those two get together, there's a glory that's going to be so stunning, you're going to be speechless. I had a time like that. I always remember the first time I saw the Grand Canyon. I couldn't even get the Yelp out. It was just like, you hear about it, but then it's so vast, it's so deep, it's so huge, it's so incredibly one of a kind. And you have to see it, and then it's, after you're stunned after a while, then it's, oh, can you see that? And then, the person's looking at it too, but that's all you can say is how incredible and immense it is. But that's the wonder of the glory. It's just going to be too much. Now, in 12, you see it says, salute Tryphena and Tryphosa. Now, they have the same meaning. Well, they got them right there together, and what a double portion. Well, what's that double portion? It's a double portion of luxury, priceless riches. Do we really think about one another that way? And then salute Persis, which is strength. It's really like a dam breaking forth in a way, isn't it? It's like just this watershed of glory. As the Lord is, led us all the way through here. And it's like, okay, if these things will work in your life, if truly you'll take this encouragement, Romans, they call it a little mini book, mini Bible. If you let that work, this is going to break forth in your life and continue to pour out. And it's so marvelous how this is. And I pray we're all in. Amen. All right. Verse 13, it says, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Rufus means a banquet of red. It's kind of an interesting thought, isn't it? Reminds me of Josiah. Josiah was that little king. And man, when they found the word of God, that guy went wild. No one did a Passover like Josiah. He killed about every animal there was because he loved the blood. It was a sacrifice that went on for a long, long time because he loved that blood. So I think of this Rufus, the banquet of red. He was mercy's man. And no wonder he's chosen. That word chosen means the elect and the best. And this writer says, and his mother and mine. Now, that's quite a mom to have a son like that. But you know what? Her name must be Grace because she's the mother of us all. Amen? Amen. It's beautiful to see the little subtleties in this. So, you go over to verse 14. We got a tough one here, but I think it's a syncretus. One of a kind. Isn't that beautiful? One of a kind. The choice one. How about the goodly pearl? Praise God. Phlegon. On fire. On fire. You on fire? Praise God. Amen. That's like a cherubim one. Hermas means speedy. The runner. Petrobus. The father's walk and will. Hermes. Fortune and gain. Think of the inheritance that we bring to God. And then it says, and all the brethren with them, salute them. I thank the Lord for that as well, too. Sometimes we can get a little bit melancholy. Maybe we don't think we're noticed. We're not meaningful. But let me tell you something. That same salute went to all the brethren. So whether you're named or not, you're in that, you receive the same. I think about it was those that stayed with the stuff, huh? Right? Well, they went out to battle, and those battlers, they get more, and You know who gets it? All the ones that stay with the stuff. So whether you're a warrior out there staying with the stuff, or whether you're just staying with the stuff, it's the stuff, all right? That's it. You want that stuff. And this is what this is saying. There's no difference here. And I thank the Lord that he encourages us that way. Verse 15, Philologus, how beautiful. Lover of the word. Wow. That's beautiful. And then, you know, he throws in this Julia. Soft hair, glory. Huh? Yeah, that's gorgeous. Neris, a lump. I love that. And we are. We're a new lump. Praise God. Pliable. And you have to see yourself that way. See, you want to be around the lumps. The lumps know mercy. The lumps don't think they can do anything. Do I want to be around a bunch of people that think that they can work something up? Or do I want to be around a bunch of lumps that God's going to put the oil and his hands on, and he's going to do all the molding and shaping and making after his all perfect and complete will? Amen. So they didn't just throw this in. And what does that mean? Olympus, heavenly. I appreciated another sister sent me a little note here, and I thank God on that. There were 8 women that were mentioned in this. 8, the bridal number. And then 1 is not mentioned. We understand that. And that would be the 9th. And I kind of think of the lady in waiting, and number 9 means completion. So many different things. And we're just, again, touching on a few as we go through. Now, verse 16, after we get all of that encouragement, here we go. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. This is such a beautiful statement here. Love and show love. Amen? Don't you think? Paul is saying this. Salute one another. So let's go back and look at that. Draw to oneself in fervent love. Embrace, receive joyfully with a holy kiss. A brother, well, precious Aaron, he was here. He was so cute in the house. He said, oh, I was really surprised. Brother so-and-so, you know, he hugged me and then he kissed me on the cheek. I never had a man kiss me on the cheek before. Be thankful. Be thankful. I'm grateful to God. These are important things. The love of God makes you love everybody. Not only do I need to tell you I love you, by the grace of God, I need to show you that I love you. And I wouldn't want to necessarily show. I should have it in me that I can't contain it. Now, I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. And we always talk about that. You don't ever approach, touch, nothing with anybody that wouldn't want to be. But I would be very, very sad if you have really received and heard this word. You should be drawn to embrace one another. You should be drawn to kiss one another. And you better get over, well, I don't feel comfortable. What a lame excuse. There'll be excuse that, well, I don't feel comfortable coming to the altar and praying in front of someone. I was appreciating that conversation I had with John Hill the other day. He was just so excited. Son, we're just going to enter in. We're just going to enter in. Well, you know those true worshipers and those ones that worship day and night? That's the four living ones. They're worshiping day and night. It's all that you hear them doing. They're worshiping. They're just in fervent love. And it happens here. And we'll just enter in. We'll just enter in. But if you don't understand that, you can wave the palm here and you can wave the palm over there. You can have, you really can. You can have all truth. You can know all mysteries. But if you don't have love, you missed it. Don't miss it. Do not miss that. I was thankful how Brother Hill would bring that out so often about that kiss. And it means something. The Word of God means something. And especially the things that are spoken of Paul and the encouragement. Pay attention. I'm thankful I'm not surprised to get kissed. There's something about it. Because it's the Word. And we better break out of comfort and get into worship. And think of this, the churches of Christ salute them. See, this is also indicating the churches of Christ salute these ones. Someday he's going to make known to all that he loved her. They're going to salute her. All right? In due time. In due time. So, now, we're going to get into a couple verses here of very, very incredible wisdom about those that don't want to enter into this. Ones that are around it, but get critical. And not only critical, but they prevent others, maybe in their own household, from gathering into this incredible bridal love. And I really encourage all of us to pay attention to these next two verses. Verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren. I beseech you. This is a calling. Pay attention. Attend to this. Mark them which cause divisions. All right? That's dissension, confusion, and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. All right. Now, we read that, avoid them. We want to restore anyone in the truth, and we know that. But if someone is continuing in the way of this, where they're just going to cause division and offense, think about what Paul has testified here, these last 16 verses. It's about love. It's about saluting one another. This is about fellowship. Take it in context with what we've just read. This is about divine fellowship. And this is talking about those that don't want that. And not only don't want that for themselves, they're going to be belligerent with it and start hurting the body. You get that? It says, avoid them. Avoid them. All right? If they want to continue going that way, what the Word of God is telling us, if we're still trying in our own, we think, strength and our own goodness to bring them back, you're wasting your time. And more importantly than wasting time, you're entangling yourself in something that just might affect you. And sometimes I think we entangle ourselves with people that are like this because we're kind of like that. Search me, O Lord. Search me. I don't want to go to living waters just because that's what I do. Or that's what people think I should do. You love the truth. You love the truth. And I love you, and I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. And here's why they do it. Listen to this. Let it speak to you. They do it for their own belly. That defines, or the definition of that, they do it for their own feelings. They're doing it for their own opinion. And notice what they do. They give fair speeches. And it's interesting to see the different fair speeches that you get on social media. I see a lot of it. Many who have known this truth, acting and saying very good words, but no evidence whatsoever of the fervent love to gather with the radiant, the superior in class, the valiant, the best. And what they do with their time after their good words is they cause dissension. Avoid them. Verse 19, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. It's marvelous, isn't it? What were they obedient to? Love. Love. You're a prisoner of the love of Christ. Amen. That's what it is. That's what you're obedient to. Think, oh, I'm obedient to this and I'm obedient to come and do this. And no, that's not it. This is the obedience of a husband and wife. You're obedient because you love. Like I told you, I do dishes. I have to really do them now or my wife's gone for a week. It'd be a mess. I actually vacuumed today, so that was good. She liked that, you know. I said, nah, you don't want me to do the clothes. We don't have that. We're not going to go buy a new wardrobe. I'd mess them up. I did it one time. It wasn't good. And it wasn't intentional. Okay. So, the devotion is to the saints of the Most High. That's what this love is. There's a longing that Paul is encouraging us that to be with them overall. And he goes right in and he says, and there's a fight. Simple on the evil, wise of the good. But know this. See, he's bringing so many things out here in verse 20. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So it's just well. Live in the victory now is what he's saying that God gave you at the cross. It's yours. And now then, verse 21, as we close this up, Timotheus, my work fellow. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. And here's the four cherubim ones with Paul. Timothy means honoring God, my companion. Lucius, the bright light. Jason, the healer, the restorer. And Sosipater, the saving father, speaks of the mature one. And then, verse 22, don't let this confuse you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. This most likely is Paul's scribe that wrote these things down. And it's a blessing. I pray that we're scribes too, in a sense, that it's written upon our hearts. Verse 23 says, Gaius is mine host, and of the whole church salute you. Look at all the saluting that goes on. Matter of fact, that same sister brought it to my heart that that word salute you find 15 times in here. 15 is rest. And I think of how beautiful that is. The heart of the husband does trust in her. Amen? See what this fervent love does? There's just a rest. There's a joy. You settle down in marriage. We don't get disputing. We have one mind and one voice, one praise, one joy. I mean, it's him all over the place. And I thank God then we don't have all of these different opinions and factions and all of that. It's just one because he's one. Gaius means rejoicing. So Gaius, the rejoicing is my hope. Paul's gospel always resides in the rejoicing, nowhere else. Erastus, right there it says, the chamberlain of the city salutes you. And we love that chamberlain. It takes you right back there to the thought and story of Esther. And he's beloved. And that chamberlain means the keeper of the king's riches. Isn't that something? I like to be around you. You're the keeper. You are the riches of the king. Isn't that beautiful? And that's kind of the Holy Ghost talk, and we get that. Quartus means the fourth. You think, well, why is it the fourth? Well, I believe that's a beautiful number. It means weakness. Remember, the only way to the Holy of Holies was through the four pillars? You got to be weak to get in there. Got to understand it's all mercy. And then finally, verse 24 tells us, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. It's so joyous. It's grace. And then in verse 25, here's the high calling reminder once again. Now to him that is of power to establish you. So it's the grace, and by the way, it's him that does the establishing. According to what? To my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So verse 25 tells us he's the one that does it. We are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God before ordained that we should walk therein. That's the height of holiness. And we're thankful here he tells us that it's his power. Amen? His Holy Ghost power. What does it do? It establishes us. You know what the word establish means? It's so beautiful. These are such incredible graces to our heart. It means to turn to the certain direction and set you firm in it. Not just a direction, but to the certain direction and set you firm in it. How about I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Amen? That's how that certain direction is. And set you firm in it, pillar, Philadelphia saint. Praise God. The mark for the prize direction. And how? According to what? My gospel. No one ever speaks like that. Because no one can. Because he's the chosen vessel unto God that was given, as he tells you once again, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Oh my goodness, it's so beautiful. That's Paul's gospel. According to my gospel, the revelation of the mystery, the hidden thing, the secret will of God that now is made manifest and made known to who? To all nations. And don't be confused with this. Once again, Paul's speaking here to Gentile Christians. That means a certain group or company. And thanks be to God, brothers and sisters. That's you. That's me. This is us. And we're so equipped, so fully equipped with everything, all this knowledge and all this love. The Lord increase our faith to lay hold and by the grace of God, never lay down the crown. Amen? Well, praise God. 16 weeks and we didn't even scratch the surface. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's stand and be dismissed.